Okay, Pei Beis Amir Aleph, the Mishnah, it's a long Mishnah, two lines into the very wide lines, or 82A1. Okay, the Mishnah says, Kol Shasakim Anashim, anybody who has, the Mishnah, Gemara is going to explain this, what this means. Whoever does business with women should not be alone, with even with many women. Even though we learned one man could be alone with three women, but this guy not. Le'yilamid Adam is B'nei Umnus Anashim. He should not teach his son a trade that includes women. You know, but even though a father has to teach his son a trade, but not that. The mayor says like this: a person should always teach his son a clean and easy trade, which means not degrading, not a lot of heavy labor, or clean means from no stealing. Teach him a business that you don't have to steal in. Now, it's not Yiddish a business. And even though you teach him a trade, you should daven l'misha eishev anachosim shalei to the one, meaning Tashem, has all the money. She'un umnis, she'en ba'anias v'ashiris. There's no business that doesn't have wealth and poverty. You know, some businesses are good, some businesses are bad. She'lei anias min ha'umnis, le'a ashiris min ha'umnis. Poverty doesn't come from the business, wealth doesn't come from the business. Ala kol lefi schus, it all goes on as Shem's, the schus that the person has. You know, you have a schus, you get it. You don't.
Could you explain what zuchut is? What is
zechut? Sometimes it's chusovis. Sometimes it's what Hashem does through davening that you accomplished. A person's mazel, which is destined for him from the time he's conceived.
So it's not in your hand. Whatever is not in your hand is zechut.
Right. It can be merited. That basically is called merit.
But if somebody does some the good things,
good things you give us close.
No, that's
So again, here he brings down. Sometimes the Me'iri learns with Hashem's mercy can be evoked through prayer. That's called mazel. Taisus asserts that schus means the person's mazel, which is destined to him from the time he conceives. Mm-hmm. So according to the Meir, based on the mazel that you're born in, that's what money you're going to make. Other things, schus say his merit. Not to mean mazel, because then it's not your merit. It's not up to you when you're born. Right? Your schus means your merit. So he says, a person can be altered based, various schus and mitzvahs that you do. Whatever.
So doing it aver or not does not affect that.
Sometimes it could.
If it's zuchut,
if you've sinned, then you don't get rain. For a farmer, if you sin, then you're not going to get rain.
I'm saying when the topics that the Torah or Gemara says is zechut, it's not talui on what you do.
Sometimes this is the different opinions in the Rishonim, what mazel means. That's all. Okay, Rav Shimon Elazar, Rav Shimon Elazar says, Re'isa miyamecha chai v'ev sheyesh lam umnes. Did you ever see a wild animal or bird that has a job, that has a trade? And yet they get a lot of parnasa. Without any too much work. But these creatures were created to serve us. But a Jew was created to serve Hashem. So for sure I should have a parnasa. If animals get parnasa without too much work, and they weren't created to serve Hashem, those animals are created to serve me, people. And the person who was created to serve Hashem for sure should have parnasa. Why don't we? It says, Shehira, see my sight, my corrupted, my deeds, v'kipachti is parnasasi, and therefore I forfeited my parnasa. So, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, it's all up to us. Because those people that don't have good and bad, like animals, that don't have free choice, they get parnasa with not any problem. They get everything they need.
They only get food. What else do they don't get anything.
Whatever they need, they have.
It's food.
They get it from the mazel, right?
Whatever. What else does an animal need?
Besides food, nothing.
Okay.
So maybe that's what we are talking only about.
That's
food.
Not what he says. We lose parnasa completely. Okay. Abba Gurin is Sayonai Mimishum Abba Guria. Okay. La'ela, la'ilamit Adam is B'nai. You should not teach your son to be a chamor, a donkey driver. Gomel, a camel driver. Kador, a wagon driver. Safan, a sailor. Raya, shepherd. V'chemveni, or a storekeeper.
Don't be any
storekeeper, wow.
They just knocked off half. Why? Shomnasa Maisa Umnes Listim, because they're all a bunch of ganovim. Why? So the Mefashim explain like this, to go through each one. They steal supplies from nearby properties when they lodge on the road. They violate the terms of the agreements with whom they hire them, since they travel long distances, so who oversees them? So all these people, Chamor, a shepherd, yeah, allows his sheep to graze in other people's fields. So he says, don't teach your kids to be any of these things. Not a donkey driver, not a camel driver, a wagon driver, a sailor, a shepherd.
Why not a storekeeper?
Huh? He says, because what they would, the storekeeper would sell by weight.
Yeah.
So they would deceive the weight by putting stones in to make it weigh heavier and give you less goods. You know, that wasn't in the old days. That's what the Torah had to warn you not to be, to have weights, you know, only kosher weights. And then he continues. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer B'Shmei, Rabbi Yehuda says in his name of Abba Gurion, says like this, Hachamoran Ruben Rishoyim. Most donkey drivers are evildoers. Okay? And he says, why? Because dishonesty, like he explained before, they steal things and they do things unsupervised. But he says interesting like this. Gamolim, most camel drivers, are righteous men. So he's arguing about the first version. Abba Gurion said, camel drivers, donkey drivers, all those are ganovim. He says, no. Donkey drivers are ganovim. But gamolim, camel drivers, are righteous men. Why? So Rashi explains like this. Camel drivers go long distances in the desert. The deserts are very dangerous. So camel drivers are always davening. They're always davening to Hashem to be safe. Or like it says, Asafonim, the sailors, Ruben Chasidim, are even more than Tzadikim. Why? Because...
He just said don't let them be...
No, that's the first opinion. That's why he's arguing. He said... The Buddha says in the name of Abba Gurion, not like the first version, don't teach your kid a camel driver, wagon driver, all that's because I got enough of them. He says like this, donkey drivers are takir rishoyim. Camel drivers are kshedim, meaning tzaddikim. Why? Because they're always davening, because pei beis amid aleph, middle of the page. Because they're davening, because they're always dangerous. Sailors, Ruben Chasidim, are even more. Why? Because boats crossing the oceans were more dangerous than the camel drivers. They had, first of all, you had storms, you had pirates, you had, you know, all the things was more dangerous. So they would daven even more. To put it into modern day language, they tell the famous joke that a taxi driver and a rabbi came upstairs after they died. New York taxi driver. So, in heaven they ruled, the rabbi goes to Gehenim, and the taxi driver goes to Gan Eden. So the rabbi said, come on, I'm a rabbi, he's a taxi driver. So they said in heaven like this, when the taxi driver in New York drives, everybody's praying in the car. When the rabbi preaches, everybody's sleeping. He says, like the Gemara says over here, the camel drivers, because they would go into dangerous situations, they would daven. And the sailors even more. Then this is a famous Mishnah. Teiv shebereifim legehenim. The best of doctors go to Gehenim. So this already the Mefarshim discussed. Rashi has one interpretation, but there's a lot of other interpretation. Rashi says, because he's not afraid of illness, because the doctor eats all junk, and he doesn't care because he knows how to cure himself. Or another thing Rashi says, Pa'amim shahayrig nefoshes. Sometimes a doctor makes a mistake and may accidentally kill somebody. Or another thing Rashi says, sometimes a poor man comes to him who has no money to cure, to pay, and the doctor refuses to treat him.
What does the first Peshat have to do with anything? For him, he eats whatever he's
doing. So he says because he's not careful with his, so he ends up killing himself. He eats dangerous food, so he's like, say, suicide. Or another interpretation is he kills people accidentally. Or another third, Rashi says all three. Or the third interpretation is that a poor man comes to be healed and he can't pay, so he doesn't give money. But other Mepharshim learn, like he brings down the Mashah, what does it mean, Teif Shebereifim, meaning if they consider themselves the best of doctors. In other words, they think it's me curing rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay,
yeah. They said, these men consider themselves best in the field, they rely on their own judgment, and they don't want to talk over with other doctors. Some doctors, when you tell them you want to get a second opinion,
they get
really angry at you. No, so he said, that's one of the Mepharshim. The Mashah explains, and others explain, that the reason why the best of doctors refers to Toiv Shebereifim, the doctor who thinks he's the best and doesn't consult others, so because of that he might kill a patient, because if he consulted others, they would come up with a better strategy how to do it. Then there's a Velt, this he doesn't bring down here, but there's a famous answer, explanation of the Velt. Toiv equals 17. In Shemoneh Esrei, there's 18 brachas originally. So what does it mean, Teiv Shebereifim? A doctor who only believes in 17 brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, but the bracha Reifei Chayli Ami Yisrael, that Hashem is the healer, he doesn't believe in, because he thinks, it's like the Mashal says, he thinks he heals, so he goes to Gehenim. Because otherwise, not, because not here, but the Mefarshim ask, we know Kol HaMekayim Nefesh Shachas, whoever saves a life is like they saved the whole world. Doctors save lives. How could this be? So you have all these various interpretations of why the problem is with the doctors.
So also in the Divarto, it says 12 means like he's easy on the patient. It's good for the take care. It's not machmir on them. So he goes like...
Again, there's a lot of various interpretations that the Mefarshim explain. Okay, another thing... The most righteous animal butcher is a partner with Amalek.
Hmm.
Why? Here he refers to, the way Rashi explains it, is a sheichet. Why? Because nowadays it's not such a big problem. But years ago, a sheichet had to shecht an animal. He wanted that animal to be kosher. Because if it's not, it's a big loss of money. So today, by the way, it's interesting, in the big slaughterhouses, the glatt kosher, you know, whatever it was. So when they say, they don't care too much if an animal's treif, because they sell it for treif. It doesn't sell for treif, it's not a loss of money. But in the olden times, you had a private animal, you brought it to the sheikh messed up. So a lot of times, the sheikh would rule its kosher even when it wasn't. And that's why he's called a partner of a malik. Why? Because just like Amalek, they say this connection to Amalek for this interpretation is difficult. But they say, another thing is like this, when you deal a lot with animals, you become
cold
like an animal. Become cold like an animal. So therefore it says you become a partner of Amalek that cooled off the Jews on the way out of Mitzrayim. And by the way, you find this even today amongst doctors. Some doctors, okay, let him die. You know, let him go. Who cares? Let's die. They're so cold. You know, there's no feeling there to save a life or for the family. Let him go. So that's also what the Gemara is saying. Okay, so then the Gemara says like this. Rav Nehoroi says, and this is very interesting. The Mefarshim here don't talk about it, but it's a Pella, because according to some Mefarshim, Rav Nehoroi was Rav Meir. The problem is, coming up in the Mishnah, there's a contradictory opinion from Rab Meir. So, you can't have Rab Nehoroi, Rab Meir, and if he's arguing against himself. What does Rab Nehoroi say? Maniach ani kol umne shebe'ilim. I don't believe in teaching kids any trade. Any melamed is b'ni elo teira. Get the trade, I'm going to only teach him teira. Why? Because you get the benefits from this world, and you have it in the world to come, because not only do you have it in this world, you have it in the world to come. And he says why? He says like this, But all the other businesses, you don't always get the reward in this world either. He says, Torah, you get reward in this world and in the world to come. So he says, why? Because Sha'adam Bali De Khele De Zikna Li De Yesurim, if a person gets sick or old or afflicted that he can't work anymore, so his business is finished. They didn't have social security with retirement pensions in those days. He cannot work. But he says die from starvation. They didn't have savings account. They lived hand to mouth, right? So he says all the other businesses, you get older, sick, or you can't work anymore. So what happens to you? Finito, you're done. But Teira ain't a king. Why? Because Mishmarte Miko Rabino, it'll say it guides him from all evil in his youth. It gives him future and hope in his old age. Where do we see this? Because Benurosema, what does it say in his youth? The Kari Hashem, those that trust in Hashem, Yachlifu Kayach will renew their strength. And Bezuknosema, what does it say when a person gets old? Eidyanuvim Beseva, they will be still fruitful in an old age. V'cheinu Eimer B'Avram Avinu, Avram Zokim Hashem Berech of Avram Bakel, right? So in his old age, Avram had an unbelievable bracha, and yet, Matzinu Shas Avram Avinu, Kol HaTorah Kula, Shlei Nitna. And yet Avram Avinu learned and kept Torah before it was given. Like it says in the Pasuk, Eikev Asher Shama Avram Bekeli, V'yishma Mishmarti, Mitzvesi V'chukaisai, like the Gemara says, from the age of 3, Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah.
He worked also.
Huh? He worked, but it doesn't emphasize that he worked for a living. He had an eshel, but the eshel, if you were agreed to bench, he didn't charge you. It's a pretty bad businessman. Avram got 12 because of his mazel. But it says like this, some of Foshim learn, the Cheder Abnei Roy is contradicting Rab Meir. Rab Meir said before that you have to teach your kid a trade. Look, at the beginning of the Mishnah we started today. Rav Meir Eimer, Le'elam Yilmed Adam is B'nai Umnes Nekiyah. You have a father has an obligation to teach his kid a trade. Comes along Rav Neroi, seemingly argues, and he says, don't teach him anything but Torah. Yeah? So some of Foshim learn that Rabbi Neroi was only talking about B'ni. He was talking about his son. What does that mean? So the Mepharshim explain, the Pnei Yeshua explains, that he saw extreme good Torah abilities in his son. So he said, so he's not arguing against Rav Meir. Now, as Rav Meir says, normally you need to teach your son a trade. But if your son's an Eloi, a genius, so Rav Neroi saw that his son was a genius. He said, I'm going to teach him only Torah.
So who does this apply to in Pirkei Avos? It says that Torah has to be combined with occupation.
No, over there in Pirkei Avos, it means you have to have it, you have a Talmud Torah im derech eretz. You need to learn Torah, but you need a trade also.
Right.
Because then you have both things together.
So who does that apply to? Everybody?
They're not speaking, by the way, Rav Meir and Rav Neroi, or especially Rav Meir, all these opinions, I'm not saying you don't have to learn. You have to learn. Like it's a businessman has to learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. He's not saying you shouldn't learn Torah. Torah you have to learn. But he's saying that the mayor says you have to teach your child a trade. By the way, years ago, and many people, by the way, it's interesting, there's a whole movement now in the frum world. Because, you know, kids go to yeshiva, and they don't learn a trade. Mm-hmm. And then, they get out there into the world, not everybody becomes a Rosh Yeshiva. Not everybody goes into chinuch, or a rabbinate, or whatever, you know. So, what are these kids going to do? And they say that in Europe, even in Europe, yeah, most people didn't stay in yeshiva. They learned it when they were young in yeshiva. 16, 17, they actually went out and learned to trade. So it's a whole question, what's the right attitude today? But if somebody sees that the child, there's a lot of yeshivas are now talking, it's still talk, about opening trade schools. You know, the part-time learning, mm-hmm. and part-time learning a trade, whether it's computers or whatever, you know, different types of trades for yeshiva kids, because not everybody can become a Rosh Yeshiva or a Rebbe or whatever it is. So but that's what, even in Europe, the people from, remember Europe, how many people, there were those trade, tailors, shoemaker, I mean, blacksmiths, whatever the business world today, you wouldn't find that. But they that's what they did. They learned.
Wine merchants.
So if they were brilliant scholars, you know, they became Tanoim Amiroim or Garishainim or whatever. So then they learned. That's not a contradiction, by the way. So some people say, some of us should learn that Rav Noiroi, and therefore it could be Rav Meir also, because he's not arguing against himself. See, simply learning the Mishnah, Rav Noiroi is saying, you should only teach your son Torah. And Rav Meir says you have to teach him a trade. So how could he be the contradicting himself? So some of us in the Pnei Shul learns that Rav Noiroi is speaking about his particular son. Because if you look, the Lashon of Rav Meir is La'elam Yomid Adam as Benoi. Rav Noiroi says Eini Melamed as Bedi Ala Torah. So therefore, some of us should learn that he's talking about his own personal kid. It was a brilliant, so he taught him only Torah. Okay.
Is it a bit against, like, trade inside of Yeshiva? Like, so when they are in Yeshiva land, they should be all occupied, but...
There's a trade school, but to say from Loch and Kfar Chabad. It depends for whom. It depends for whom.
And he has a rather has a letter or something that says you should not work and all that.
It depends who, what, when, where.
He qualifies it in that letter.
There is. It depends what the matzav is. Who the world is different today.
It's okay, university.
Years ago, that's a different story. No. That's to do with the social things and the affecting the Yiddishkeit and all that. Two different things. It's talking about even in a yeshiva atmosphere to learn a trade. There's a big difference between that and going to college, have a good time at night, and party. No, that's the obvious difference. Okay.
In Iran, they started this in the public school. They had it like you learn, also they teach you also trade too. While you're learning, you get a trade
too. Yeah. That's art. But art is working in many years. Even America also, they do art.
4 years.
Okay.
Also in the North Valley, they have Jets.
Jets is a similar setup, yeah. Not all kids today have the... Well, for whatever reason it is, all the teachers will tell you that when kids were able to sit in the classroom and learn for 3 hours or 2 hours, today, they just don't have it. The kids don't have the zitzfleish to sit and study for an extended, they're sitting on pins and needles. It's because of the whole world, everything quick, you know, there's no stability. Okay, Tan Rabban alert. Kol Shasokiv v'manoshim, anybody whose business is with women. And the Gemara is going to say what this means, because that was said in the Mishnah. Surira as bad character. Meaning, like it says, he's not going to be a good friend of yours because he doesn't have such a good character.
Surira, what is surira?
Surira means his turning is bad. Or surira literally means his turning, meaning his character is bad. Kugain says like this. Who are the people that deal with women a lot? Tsar from goldsmiths, because they make jewelry for women. Sarikim, combers, they comb the wool for the women's garments. Vanikares, the hand mill cleaners. They by housework preparation for food. So they used to go to the houses to clean the mills. Vauduchlin, peddlers of women's toiletries. Gardium weavers, barbers, who the women would bring them to the kids for haircuts. Vakes and launderers. Vagodar, bloodletters. We'll soon see why they're bad. Vabalon and bathhouse attendant, Vapursiki and Tanner who converts the woman's clothing from the hides into clothing. All these people,
women.
Huh?
They don't see women.
Yeah.
They're business with women.
They sell things to the women. They go into the house. The men are out.
But can you blame them? Can't blame them. Women drive them crazy.
The Gemara's not blaming them. No. They're stating a fact.
Yeah.
So it's as long as they are actually dealing with women. The guy is...
One minute, let's finish the Gemara. And the Gemara says like this. Ain mamidim, any of these craftsmen he mentioned before, you don't appoint a melech or a kohen gadol from them.
No.
Why not? He says, my time. Lei mishum de psile. Not because they're disqualified in like the ganovim or like with them before. Ele mishum de zil nasayu. It's a demeaning type of a work. In the olden days, it was a demeaning.
Cheap.
It's a cheap type of a work. And Melech and Kohen Gadol has to have a certain prestige. You don't want somebody coming along about a king and say, you know, this guy used to be a shoemaker or a weaver. It's pushing not the. Shetelmacher, yeah.
Carter used to be something.
When was
the
king?
Peanut farmer.
Huh?
Peanut farmer.
By a Bezer of 71.
They appointed
kings? Yeah, when a king died.
It wasn't like dynastic?
Sometimes it was. If there was a child that was fit, but if there was no children that was fit, they were fit, then they appointed somebody else.
How often did that happen?
Not too often. And same thing with Kohen Gadol, by the way. If Kohen Gadol had a son that was fit in greatness and learning to be, then he fit in also.
But is it two separate statements what the Gemara is saying?
Is bad character.
Bad character, and then in addition to that, since it's
right.
Meaning,
yes.
Also don't make him
yes.
Like, why is it? Why is it limited to this? Why doesn't it say someone who deals with fertilizer or garbage?
You know what? In different places, in Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam brings down more qualifications, tanning hides. Which the Gemara doesn't say here, a tanner, it does really allude to it. A tanner, it does
women,
a tanner.
Yeah. Dealing with women.
Yeah, but no, sometimes the professions cause the person to smell because it's a rotten smell and it permeates the
like
spores.
Sewer workers.
Yeah.
So the
chiddush of the Gemara is that these people are called demeaning type of a work.
But it's two separate things.
Yeah.
So like now the custodian.
Rabbanan learned.
Nothing to do with the woman?
No, there's two things. Bad character, and like he says, it's pointless to turn to him as a friend because he will not be loyal to you. Or his dictamine, his evil inclination is very powerful against Hashem. There's two definitions of Surah Ira.
The women cause the man to have bad character?
No, because he is in that type of a business, he ends up with not being very easy. His heart is very strong.
So all the husbands are in trouble.
It depends what they do.
No. I mean,
all husbands are in trouble anyway.
Yeah,
they're
around their wives. You know, it's... that's why I say you shouldn't be around your wives.
Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, you'll see from this Gemara, the Gemara doesn't like the blood letters. You know, the causes dam. In the old times, the medicine was letting blood. Tanu Rabbanan, Sod Varm Nemu Begada. Gada was a blood letter. What is bad things about him? Number one, Mahalach Hatzidei. Literally means he walks on the side, meaning he walks very haughty. He thinks he's God. Mahalach Hatzidei walks in a haughty manner. Veruche Gasa, he's a Balgaivi, he's conceited. Venitla V'yeshiv, he reclines when he sits, always. Even like on his back. Like it says, these are... Why does he act like that? Sirashi says, because... The blood letter, people entrust him with their life. Because when he lets blood, if he messes up, he can let you bleed to death. Right? So he thinks I'm better than everybody else because everybody trusts me with their life. So because of that, he acts haughty. What does he do? He walks on his side, he's conceited, he reclines. Vain is study, he's stingy. Why is he stingy? Because when people do bloodletting, they have to eat afterwards to get back to strength. So while he's in the house, he eats with them. So he doesn't spend his own money. He's stingy.
Oh, he makes house calls?
Yeah. The Einar, he has an ayin hara. He always gives ayin hara. Because what does he want? He wants people to get sick and then he'll have parnasa. See, he's like davening for people to get sick. Eichel harve, he eats a lot, umeiti kima, and goes to the bathroom very little. So again, Rashi explains, because he eats healthy foods, like white bread and fatty meat, which causes very little going to the bathroom. This is what Rashi says. I don't know if it's still the body changed.
Huh? White bread, everybody says he does that to you.
Cause you not to go to the bathroom.
Right, right.
And fatty meat. Not only that, he suspected of idolatry. So he says,
adultery. Arayu.
Yeah, he said. Why? Because he's involved with women that need a service. He deals a lot with women. And choshed ala gezel, and he steals, because the women take the husband's money to pay him without the husband's permission. Vashvichas damin and bloodshed. Because if he takes out too much blood, he can die. I don't know if you in folklore, remember? Robin Hood died because they let the guy, the bloodletting, locked him up in a room. And how did Robin Hood die in folklore?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Robin Hood didn't die.
You should know.
Robin Hood's still alive? In Gan Eden, was it?
No, yeah.
In folklore. Come on.
Robin Hood?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I read a book on Robin Hood. At the end of the book, it said that he was sick and they let blood from him to little John. Whatever. Anyway, he died because the guy let too much blood from him. Okay. I'm talking about.
But they used to use leeches.
55 years ago.
They used to use leeches for that.
Yeah.
Oh, they used to.
Zalu. No, leeches would take out.
Zalu.
I know, but.
You looking it up?
Yeah. George Washington died that way.
I think it was Robin Hood.
It could be the one of the presidents. Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, don't waste your time with Google.
Is he a doctor? The person blood.
Yeah, that was the cause of Stam. Remember, we learned before in the Gemara, Shmuel, all these people, when they went to do our causes dam, they would eat a lot and, you know, to get healthy again.
But they're not doctors.
Did they have a MD? I mean, which doctors had MDs in those days?
They're not called doctors even in the old days.
No, they're called Makis Dam. Reading Gemara calls them Gada. Gada was a bloodletter.
There are people, they know where to get the blood from, and they have a pain in your neck. They know where to. No, yeah,
yeah, because it's interesting. Sometimes you have a pain in your foot, they'll give you a shot in the hand. So you think, like, what's the... You tell a story that a guy was sick in his heart. He had a heart problem. So the doctor came and was taking his pulse. So the guy said, "My heart is a problem. Why are you taking my pulse?" So the doctor said, this good fundraiser vote, "How your hand is, I know what type of heart you have." From your hand, I know what type of heart you have. Okay, that.
The rabbi's right.
Huh?
I said the rabbi's right.
I'm right?
Yeah.
God, this is from over 50 years ago.
Wow.
According to the legends, yeah. That's right.
Okay. Well, you see, I remember something. Okay, that is Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara learned like this. It's said in that Mishnah, this is going back to the Mishnah. A person should teach his son a good, easy trade. So Gemara says, Mahi, what's a good, easy trade? Now, before when we learned the Mishnah, we said it refers to two things. Number one, that's not hard labor, and a clean, that you don't steal. So the Gemara said, what's a good example of this? Machta de Talmiusa. Stitching in furrows, as he brings from Rashi, embroidery, the stitches are arranged like the furrows of a plowed field. It's a very easy type of a work, and it probably paid well. You know, and that's a good type of work.
A tailor?
It was embroidery. Rashi says in French, it was Bruges Dyer, in Old French. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Yoimer, Rabbi says like this. Ein loch umnis sevedis min ha'elam. There's no trade, whether it's clean or repulsive, that people always need it. I remember there was this guy, he was in the food business. He said, food is the best business. Because people for the rest of the time are going to have to eat. You know, some days this business could die, that. He said, food is the best of business. He says, the best business because that people need to eat.
What is the
overt means? Huh? Shevet that completely leaves the world. It ceases to exist.
Over.
Right. He says, people will always be interested, whether it's a clean business or a repulsive business. As long as there's a need for it in the world, you'll find people that will do it.
But what does that have to do with the what Krishna saying? What does that have
1 minute, he's not done. So he says, did you find anything about George Washington too?
No, I said after the shir, I'll check on George Washington. I think he's right, though. I think, as I recall...
It could be. It's not a...
I think that's right.
No, I just checked it. One of the theories.
Uh-huh. One of the...
Theories.
One of the theories.
Okay.
He was definitely blessed by it a lot. The night that he died.
The Gemara speaks about it. The older people in the bloodletting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Gemara speaks. So in time of the Gemara was very, very common. In fact, in time of Shulchan Aruch. Not only we're talking Beis Yosef, the Ramad, Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, that 200 years ago, 300 years ago.
People do nowadays. I mean, not bloodletting, but they give blood when they donate.
No,
blood.
But I'm saying the bloodletting was a different thing.
Different.
They cured you by taking out blood. They knew where to take it out from, and that's what cured you.
They used to do in Iran too.
Yeah, I mean...
I know people. I mean, you can't see on their body.
Because but you know, you don't have blood letters in America. I mean, I don't think there's such a job.
But they started in UCLA. They have a zoologist,
leeches.
They started in UCLA.
Leeches.
Yeah.
But bloodletting is not with leeches. In the time of the Gemara, they didn't do it with leeches.
How did they do it?
To my understanding, they actually cut.
Yeah, they cut.
And they drew out the blood.
Yeah. They put a cup, they put a match in it, it sucks out there.
Yeah. They used to take out, it was a substantial amount of blood.
Yeah, that's blood.
It's like when you donate blood today, it's not when you go for the lab test, that's nothing. When you donate blood, they take out whatever, it's a pint or whatever they take out, that you feel mamish weak. They used to take out that amount of blood for bloodletting. It was a lot. It was a large amount of blood. And people got weak and they had to eat, and halachically, if you had a bloodletting and you didn't have money, you were able to go to all the storekeepers and taste a little bit of the food. You know, that they think that you might buy it.
The wine.
The wine, or the, especially wine, but the food also, the Gemara says.
You said you could mislead a storekeeper?
Yeah, because you had bloodletting, it could become pikuach nefesh, so the Chachamim allowed you to mislead the guy thinks you're tasting it because you want to buy it. But they were allowed to do it. It could be, it could come to be. The Gemara says some people died from the bloodletting. Okay, then he says like this. So Rabbi continues, says Ashimi Shereya Sayra by Umnas Mu'ula. Fortune is the one that sees his parents in a superior type of trade. Okay? In other words, even though a man doesn't necessarily follow the trade of the parents, but it helped out a lot. And he continues, and he explains. I'm sorry, woe is to person that sees his parents in an inferior type of job, because that's probably what he's going to continue doing. He says like this, it's impossible for the world to function without a perfumer and without a tanner. The tanners, the height stunk, so the tanners, stunk. And the perfume people always smelled good. So the Mishnah's explained, there's extreme. You can't have the world without tanners. You can't have the world without perfumes. Ashrei mi, fortunate is the one that his business is with perfumes. And what was to the one that his business is tanning? Okay.
That's the mazal of the person, probably, yeah?
Yeah. But then it says like this. This you can only learn when a men share. The world can't be without male and female. Ashrei mi shebanav scharim. fortunate is the one that his children are male. But Elamisha Bonav Nakavis. Woe is to the one whose kids are girls. So Rashi says, there's a deeper explanation here. Rashi says, what do you mean? Because girls, in the olden times, fathers were much worried about the girls. The girls were kidnapped and raped, and the goyim wanted them, and it was much harder raising a bunch of fearing, the parents feared much more raising a girl than raising a boy. So the Gemara says, this is what Rashi explains. Fortune is the one that his kids are, that his kids are as chodim rather than the kavis. Okay? Now you're beating this up from eating, not from Rashi. Okay. But if you notice, that's not really what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, fortunate is the one that his sons are male, and woe is the one whose sons are female. Simply, banav means children.
Right.
Okay? So simply, the pshat is, fortune is the one that their children are male, and woe is to the one that children are females. First of all, to be Mekayim Piru Revu, you need to have a boy and a girl. So the Gemara can't mean that you shouldn't have any girls, because then you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah Piru Revu. But if you look at the Gemara's experience, I've seen this, some of them, Mefarshim say somewhere, remember. It says, woe is the person that their boys act like girls. In other words, that they're not, you know, they're not a man. They're vibish and neshamas. Female neshamas.
Dennis Berger was talking about this. Now this generation, a lot of men acting like a woman.
I've seen in Svarim, it's just, this is the way they touch this Gemara. No. Oil me shabanov that the boys act like girls. Okay, the Meir Eimer, the Meir said in the Mishnah, La'elam yulmed adam levnei umnes nekiyah v'kala. A person should teach his son a clean, easy trade. V'yavakish rachamim min yishidavim l'misha eishim v'nachosim shalai. The one that, from Hashem. She'en anias min ha'umnes v'en ashiras min ha'umnes. Poverty doesn't come, and wealth doesn't come from the business. L'misha eishim shalai, it only comes from Hashem. So if you daven to Hashem, because again, you can have a lot of this same profession. Some people are broke, some people are rich, some people are this. In every profession, you have people that do well and people that don't do well. So he says it all comes from Hashem.
What's his shelo?
Who the wealth really belongs to. Hashem. Oh. It means the Hashem. Okay. Shenamar, because it says in the Pasuk, why do you know Hashem is the rich guy? Because it says, Li akasev, li azov, num Hashem tzokis. Hashem said, to me is all the money. So therefore, a person should daven that he can live easy enough to learn Torah. This is what the Mefarshim explain. What it means over here is like this. If you're davening that Hashem gives you parnasa, you should pick a business which doesn't contradict living like a Jew. Now that you have time to learn, to daven, and to do what needs to be done.
How many hours is normal for a person to work a day? No, halof, the rosh.
A third.
In the time of, in Europe, there were many gedolim, many tzaddikim. They had stores, their businesses. As soon as they made enough money to live that day, they closed up the business and went to yeshiva to learn. The next day, again the same thing.
What did the wives do then? They didn't drive them nuts, you know, day to day?
What did the wives do?
They went to yeshiva, they didn't go home.
Let me tell you something. The wives, in those days, yeah, when they wanted to make bread, they couldn't go to the bakery and buy a loaf of bread and go to the kosher market and buy meat. Yeah, they wanted bread. They had to grind the flour, to grind the wheat into flour and make it from A to Z. They wanted meat. that the check the chicken, the women had to kasha the chicken. You had to flick it, get the. They, come on, you know,
they whole day to do the laundry.
Huh?
Whole day doing laundry.
You know what the Gemara says? It's brought down Shulchan Aruch. Today, this question of if it applies. Ezra said, Ezra made a takana that you have to do laundry on Thursday. Why? Because Friday she should be free to cook for Shabbos. Okay? Because in the old times, they didn't, for 3 minutes, dump the stuff into the machine, press a button, and come back 2 hours later and it's all done. You know, dry. They had to go down to the river, and they had to schlep the clothing, and then with the boards, you know, and the brettle, it was called, they had to clean it. It took a whole day. What are you talking about? People don't understand that because they're not Chabadniks. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, life is much easier for Chabadniks. When Chabadniks went to cities, I have relatives that went to Italy, I mean, different places, years ago, yeah? There was no such thing as buying bread. There was no such thing as buying ketchup. There was no such thing as buying mayonnaise.
How many years ago?
Talking about 30 years ago when they went out. Now they have it. Now they can get from Israel. But
oh,
those
you mean kosher food?
I'm talking about kosher food. I'm talking about shoes. Not even bread.
I'm
saying you wanted bread. You had to bake bread. You wanted ketchup. You didn't go buy Heinz ketchup. You had to go make your own ketchup. You had to make your own mayonnaise. You had to make your own everything from scratch. Mamish from scratch. You had to make everything. Yeah? When guests came, it's not like over here, okay, you went to the baker, buy an extra loaf of bread and buy an extra jar of ketchup. It meant days of work, cooking and baking and making everything. So that's what the women did in the olden days.
I'm saying when they lived day to day, so the women had to live day to day also.
Yeah. The women didn't need Rodeo Drive prices stuff, and they didn't need the expensive cars, and they didn't need, they lived a very simple life. I heard a statistics that we have much more appliances today than they did in the olden days. Yet, we're so busy making money, working to make money to pay for the appliances, that statistically, we have less free time today than they had in Europe years ago when they didn't have all these appliances because we're so busy working to pay for it. In those days, they lived a simple life. They had food to eat. You think they went every week and bought clothing? They went shopping to Saks Fifth Avenue or Lowman's or whatever every day?
Window shopping.
They bought once a year. They bought something to wear. What do you think they did? Yom Tov. A husband had an obligation to buy his wife clothing 3 times a year. It wasn't like they were busy. And because of that, they had much less trouble in those days. People were busy. They didn't get into trouble. Huh? It's true, I'm saying. Okay, Rav Shimon Elazar, Amen, Rav Shimon Elazar said. In the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Elazar said, did you ever see a beast and a bird work for a living? Mm. They don't have a trade, and yet Hashem, they have parnasim. So he said like this. Rav Shimon Elazar said, I never saw a deer that produced of dried figs. Hmm. In other words, why does he pick a deer? He said, I never saw a deer that had a job of drying figs. So he brings down at the bottom of here, it's like this. In Gemara times, figs were commonly dried and pressed into large cakes. If a gula dvela in the Gemara, but see him. A deer would be especially suited for this profession, since even when he sleeps, a deer sleeps with one eye open and can guard the fruits that are drying in the open field from being stolen. So Shimon Elazar says, if you want to give an animal a trade, a deer would be great for pressing figs. And he says, Vadi Savil, I never saw a lion who was a porter. You know, a porter carrying heavy suitcases. Huh. He says, a lion would be a good porter. I never saw a lion being a porter. And Vishul Chemveni, or a fox to be a storekeeper. Because he's sly, you know, he can convince people to buy things for him. This is the profession of Shimon Elazar is picking these things. And yet, they misparnasim shalei bitzar. They have parnasa without too much work. Vehemle nivru alu shamshun. These were created to serve people. Vani nivreisi l'shamshes keini. And I was created to serve Hashem. So ma elu shalei nivru alu shamshareini. These people were only created to serve me. Misbarnes and shalei bitzad. They live with no pain. Ani nivreisi l'shamshes keini. I was created to serve Hashem, and it didn't just punish Shalei B'tzar. For sure, Hashem should give me without any Yitzar. What's the problem? I've corrupted my deeds. Kipachti is Parnasasi, and therefore I forfeited my Parnasa. Shadamar, it says in the Pasuk, Avinisechem Hitu, your sins have turned away these brachas.
Who's Hasidut?
Huh?
Hasidut.
The what?
My Rabbi.
Yeah, I mean, this is but you see an interesting thing. The Gemara says, "Bechlal, you should know, if you go back, after Chet Etzadas, yeah, Hashem said to Adam, "Zeif Sapecho Teichol." Now you're gonna have to work for a living, right? What caused that to happen? Chet Etzadas. If Adam Rishon didn't sin Neitzadas, they wouldn't have to work for a living. Parnassah would come very easy. The animals didn't. That's what the Gemara says. The Avei Nisechem also includes the Chet Neitzadas. And the Farshim don't say it, but Papashtus, the original Chet Neitzadas caused that a person has to work. The animals didn't sin in the Neitzadas, so therefore they got Parnassah easily.
Sa'ar means like working hard? Pain?
Yeah, pain. Like Sa'ar Gidl Bonim. Like the pain of raising kids. Okay, this last piece of Gemara I want to leave for the when we make the Siyam.
And when is that going to be?
I'm going to figure it out. Probably make it one a Sunday morning for breakfast. Make it see him. Or I could do it Shabbos.
Which Sunday?
I don't know.
This Sunday?
I don't know. Whatever.
Any Sunday?
Doesn't matter.
You have to announce it?